All right, welcome everybody, and once again, Merry Christmas, and now a Happy New Year. Before we get going, I just have a few announcements for you. First of all, I wanted to say thank you to all of you who helped contribute towards the Vision House Drive, whether you picked up one of our cards and bought some gift cards, or whether you donated online. I don't get to know exactly who did that, but I know there are a bunch of you who did, and so I thank you for that. Also, thanks to those of you who came out on Monday night for our little dinner with the Chef Dane truck. I popped in and grabbed some meals, and while I was there, it was super busy, super crowded, so thank you for participating in that, and again, those funds will go towards Nourishing Network, so really excited that we could be a part of those things during the Christmas season and just sharing God's love in those ways, so thank you for participating in those. My next announcement is to remind the ladies that there is a women's Bible study that will be starting up on January 12th. Tricia Edmonds, my mom, is going to be leading that, taking us through some Psalms, and that'll happen Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. So women, if you want to be a part of that, please let me know soon, and we'll get you the link for that very soon. And then lastly, a reminder that next week is Communion Sunday. And so the first Sunday of the month, if you'd like to take communion with us, please make sure that you grab the elements needed for that, some juice and some bread. And if you're coming to our recording service on the Saturday, January 2nd, that will be handed to you at the door in the form of those little cups. So next Sunday, Communion Sunday. With that said, why don't you pray with me at this time? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the chance to open your word, to talk about the scriptures and these truths that change our lives. And so I pray, God, that you would speak to us, that you would pour out your spirit upon us and help us to hear you and know you more. We praise your name, Jesus. Amen. So today is honestly one of the hardest Sundays to preach on. And the reason being that this is the Sunday right after Christmas, and that means that it's been a short week for me most of the time, meaning that I had to get ready a Christmas Eve sermon and then had to turn around and get ready another sermon and try and celebrate Christmas in there. Thankfully, this year with our format, it was actually a little bit easier. We were able to do some recorded messages, and so I'm not having to scramble and get things ready at the last minute. But it's also difficult because after going through the whole Advent season and having 4 weeks of preparation and then Christmas Eve and Christmas itself, it's kind of hard to know what to talk about. It feels like we've talked about everything that there is to talk about with the Christmas story, but what are we going to do? But this year, what I've decided I'd like to do is I'd like to really focus on kind of reviewing what we've talked about. And then I want to take us through today Colossians. We're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. And so if you want to open up your Bibles, I'd really encourage you to go get those and open up your Bible to Colossians, and we're going to be talking about that. And the thing is that when you get past Christmas, it seems like everybody just wants to kind of bundle it all up and pack it all up and tuck it away in the closet again. And yet the Christmas message is one that is not meant to just be packed up. And so I'm titling my sermon today, Wrapping Up Christmas, not because we're going to be closing it down for the rest of the year until next year, but because I want to summarize some things, but really highlight for us that this gift is a gift that is meant to be enjoyed all year long. So, getting into our message then today, the first thing I want to do is look at a review for us of what we've talked about so far. Now, the season of Advent is called a season of waiting and preparation and expectation, talking about the expectation of receiving the gift of Jesus. But we've also been celebrating the attributes of Advent in the Advent wreath. So, hope, peace, joy, love. The first one that we talked about this year was hope. And at Christmas, Jesus came and his birth represented hope to the nation of Israel. They had been waiting on the Messiah for hundreds of years. And in Jesus' birth, we have the beginning of the fulfillment of all of those promises and the beginning of the redemption of Israel. But this also meant hope for us because Jesus didn't just come to redeem Israel, he came to redeem all of mankind. And so seeing Jesus' birth is seeing the beginning of the fulfillment of these prophecies and also the beginning of the fulfillment of our redemption and our salvation and ultimately eternal life that God has promised us. When talking about hope, we said that hope is more than just optimism. It's a confident expectation that God will fulfill his promises just as he did in sending Jesus. I talked about three ways to maintain hope. I said that we can maintain hope by remembering the past, remembering what God has done for us in our own personal lives, remembering what God has done for his people when we look at the scriptures. And by turning to those scriptures and remembering these things, it helps us to have hope for the future because we see that God is indeed faithful. The next thing I said that we need to do is to look to the future. And really, that's all about looking to the promises that God has given us in his word. The promises for a better future, for an eternal life with him. When we look to those promises and we hold on to those promises, it helps us to have hope in the midst of dark times. It helps us to know that things will get better eventually and God will continue to stay true to those things, to those promises that he's made to us. And then the third thing I mentioned to us is to just hang on. Hold on. Don't give up. Persevere. I know that for many of us during this time, that's really all we've been doing is just holding on, waiting for an end to this virus, and it finally looks like there's light at the end of the tunnel, and I hope and pray that that truly will happen for us, but we must hold on to our faith and not give up in the midst of these difficult situations. The second attribute we talked about was peace. And talking about peace, we went back to the Garden of Eden, where we saw the disruption of peace, how man lost peace within himself, lost peace with others, lost peace with the world around him and nature. And worst of all, and the root of it all, is the fact that he lost peace with God. In Jesus' birth, God begins to restore that peace by inviting us into a relationship with him through his son Jesus. And through that, he offers us peace with ourselves, that supernatural spiritual peace, but also the freedom from the guilt and the shame and the fear of God. He also offers us peace with others, filling us with the Holy Spirit so that we can forgive one another and urging us to be his peace for one another. Then he promises us peace with the world around us and even with nature, that one day he will return and rid the world of all evil and all sin and all pain and suffering and brokenness. And so we know that that peace is coming. We mentioned in that sermon that we don't always experience the fullness of his peace. And the reason is that we are in an in-between age where we have salvation in parts, but we have yet the fullness of that salvation that we're looking forward to in Jesus. And so at times there are still the effects of sin and evil in our lives and in the world around us. But we can have more peace by doing certain things. And I mentioned the fact that we can have peace by walking in peace with God, by following his ways for us and drawing closer to him. You will grow in peace as you do that. We can have increasing peace with others by learning to extend the grace to others that God has shown to us. And we can have peace within ourselves by continuing to meditate on God's word, by really internalizing his truths, not just knowing them up here, but learning to embrace them and know them in our hearts and deep in our souls. And that's where regular church attendance is so important. As you tune in online or show up in person, you are being fed these truths that remind you and help them to sink deep down into your soul, remind you of the peace of God that you can have. And so we ponder these things and we sing these things and we learn to really live into them. And those are the ways that God can give us greater peace even in this lifetime. The third lesson we learned is about joy. And in this, Pastor Phil talked about joy being a deeper happiness that is deeper than just the circumstances around us. It's the joy of knowing God and receiving God's love through Jesus. It's a joy found in our church community, in walking together in Christ, in discerning God's will together, experiencing the gift of unity and family together. We find that joy also by obeying Jesus and by focusing on the practice of thanksgiving. And lastly, we receive God's joy by sharing that joy with others. The Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when you spread that joy with others, you are filled also with joy. Pastor Phil encouraged us to think about it as carrying around little packets of seeds of joy, that wherever we go, we would try and sprinkle God's joy to others. The fourth lesson we learned about is love. And when we talked about love, we talked about the four different kinds of love that the Bible talks about: eros, storge, philia, agape. And these are kind of like the deeper levels of love. And God calls us to go deeper and deeper in His love, that agape love, a pure, selfless willingness to sacrifice ourselves for the good of others, the same way that God has sacrificed Himself for us. So God calls us to go into those deeper kinds of love and to practice that kind of love with one another. We said that we are meant to do three things with the love that God has given us in the birth of His Son, Jesus. And we must receive that gift and embrace it, treasure it always. We must walk in it by trusting His love, believing His love, surrendering ourselves to His commands, knowing that that is what is best for us. And then we must share it with others, seeking to live our lives for others and not for ourselves. We looked at the different stories in the Bible of how God showed His love to us and to the people in the Christmas stories by revealing Himself to Mary and Joseph and Zechariah and Elizabeth and the shepherds and the wise men. And God reveals Himself to us, because the ultimate gift, the greatest gift at Christmas, is Jesus, God's Son, sent down to us. On Christmas Eve, I talked a little bit more about that gift, the ultimate gift, how it is meant to be unwrapped and received and enjoyed, not just left underneath the tree, but something that is meant to be treasured all year long. Well, having gone through all of these attributes, I now want us to turn our attention to a little passage in Colossians, Colossians 1, chapter 15 through 20, and I really encourage you to open it up before you right now. Here's what this passage says. It says, "The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross." This passage is part of the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. And in writing this letter, Paul is focused on sharing who Jesus is. And one of the reasons he does this is so that he can refute a teaching that was going around, the teaching of the Gnostics. And so when Paul is refuting the Gnostics, he's refuting many of their beliefs that had become very prominent during the time that he was writing this letter. And during this time, the Gnostics were teaching that all physical matter, all material stuff, including our bodies, was evil. And because of this, there was a gap or a chasm that divided us from God. And it was man's job to seek out different kinds of knowledge that would help them grow closer to God so that one day they could shed their physical selves, the sinful selves, and then ascend and be with God. But this gnosis or this knowledge was available to them through thousands of different emanations or revelations that God had peppered throughout history. And Jesus, they believed, was just one of these many different emanations that could give them this gnosis, this special knowledge to be able to understand and know God. So Paul, in writing this letter, he's countering these false teachings and showing them what the truth is so that they can understand the difference between the Gnostic teachings and the teachings of Christianity. And there are at least seven truths that I'd like to highlight today of what he says Jesus is. First of all, he says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Now, the word for image here is icon. E-I-K-O-N. This word means a representation or an imprint of God. Now, the Bible says that we are created in the image of God. That means we are meant to reflect God's character, his love, and his goodness. But here Paul tells us that Jesus is the image of God, the perfect representation of God in human form. Hebrews 1:3 puts it this way. It says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being." And when it uses the word representation here, that's the same word that was used to talk about a stamp or a seal. So when a king wrote a letter, he would use his ring and then push it into the wax to create this imprint, this stamp, or this seal, so that when people saw it, they saw this is the exact representation of the king's ring, and this letter carries with it the authority of the king. And that's what Jesus is. He is the exact imprint or representation of God, and he carries with him the authority and the power of God. Paul goes on and says that Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. That means that he has first an order of rank or authority over everything else that's been created. Now, the Athanasian Creed tells us that Jesus himself was never created, right? Before the resurrection or before his birth at Christmas, he existed in heaven with God, just like it tells us in John 1:1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so he is said to be begotten, not created, but he has authority over all of creation. And the reason is that he created all of creation. Verse 16, Paul goes on and says that everything that was created, whether physical and material, or whether invisible, the spiritual, the heavenly, the angels, all powers, all authorities, all thrones, all of these things were created by Jesus, and Jesus has authority over them. It then goes on and says that they were created by him, and they were created for him. They were created for his good pleasure, to glorify and honor him and lift him up. The next thing that Paul tells us is that in him, in Jesus, all things hold together. It says that he is before all things and above all things, and all things are held together by him. This means that not only did he create the universe and create us, but he continues to hold us in existence. That if it weren't for him, at this very moment, we would not exist. He continues to hold us together, and if he were to stop thinking of us, we would cease to exist. Now, scientists tell us that the universe is balanced on a razor's edge, that even if just one planet were slightly out of order or out of orbit or off its track, that everything would go flying out of its current path and into chaos. And even our very cells are being held together by a mysterious force. And that force is Jesus. He didn't just create us and make us. He continues to hold us in existence. Paul then goes on and says that Jesus is the head of the church. Now, the word for head means he has authority over the church. He has power over the church. He is the leader of the church, right? Just like our brains continue to help our bodies move and function and gives out all the signals for us to do the things that we do, Jesus continues to keep the church in existence, but it also means that he is our provider and our protector and the life giver of the church. If it weren't for Jesus, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't exist. And just like a chicken with its head cut off, if we stop following Jesus, eventually the church dies. Paul then goes on and says that Jesus is the firstborn among the dead. We talked about this about a month ago in talking about the end of 1 Corinthians. How Jesus was the first to rise from the dead and receive this glorified, resurrected body. And one day he will take us to be with him and give us our own resurrected bodies. And then he will return and establish his kingdom on the earth. Jesus is the first amongst those. And it goes on and it says that this happens so that in everything he might have the supremacy. In everything, Jesus is supreme. Supreme over all spiritual forces. Supreme over all earthly and physical powers, supreme over even death and life itself. Jesus has the supremacy. Another one that Paul talks about is the fact that God has given to Jesus all the fullness of God. And it says all of his fullness, it can also be translated as the full fullness of God. And Paul is redundant here and kind of repeats himself to emphasize the fact that he has all of the fullness of God. And this word fullness is pleroma. And this was the word that they used for the Gnostics talking about the emanations that God had revealed. And so in saying that God or Jesus has all of the fullness, all of the revelation of God, he's telling us that there is no other. And there is no other because you don't need another. If Jesus is all the fullness, then why would you turn to anyone or anything else? Jesus has all of God embodied in himself, and we can see and know God by knowing Jesus. Jesus himself said, "If you have seen me, then you have seen the Father." Jesus is all of the fullness of God, and there is none other that you need or required because you can see it all in him. So, and then one last one, sorry. The last thing that Paul says is that because of this, God has chosen to reconcile all things to himself through Jesus. So through his blood shed on the cross, all of us and even all of creation receives reconciliation to God in Jesus. This is Paul's way, once again, of refuting the Gnostics, saying, look, physical life and the life on this earth does matter because we can know God and be reconciled to him even now. It's not something that we're just waiting for in the afterlife. In Jesus Christ, you can have that reconciliation even today. So the question then is, well, why am I talking about these things just after Christmas, right? If we're talking about Christ's blood shed on the cross and the fullness of Jesus, what does this have to do with Christmas? The reason I wanted to talk about this is because when we talk about Christmas, it's such a great holiday and it brings us all the warm fuzzies and the nice feelings that we're looking for during this holiday. But Christmas is more than just warm feelings during this season. I have a number of friends who have nativities in their home and who collect nativities, but they don't believe in Jesus. I have many people, friends who have Christmas trees and they put the star on the top of the tree, but they don't believe in Jesus. I know others who say that they believe in Jesus, but they also believe that he is just one of many ways to know God. But when we look at the scriptures and we look at this passage, we see that Jesus is the only one. That even in the little baby at Christmas time, all of the fullness of God was there in the manger. All of the fullness of God, the very representation of God's glory, was right there, even in the tiny little baby, Jesus, at Christmas time. And so celebrating Christmas and celebrating the Nativity and Jesus isn't just something that we pack up when Christmas is over. It's not just something that we put away and store on the shelf or in the garage until next year. It is something that we are meant to receive and enjoy and believe and follow for the rest of the year and for the rest of our lives. The reason that Jesus is the only way is because there is no need for any other way. He is the fullness of God, the full representation of God Himself. So as we kind of wrap up Christmas, and as we start looking to putting away our decorations and the lights, don't make the mistake of wrapping up Jesus along with it. As you toss out your trees and look to maybe buying one next year, don't make the mistake of throwing Jesus out with it. Jesus is meant to be God's radiance, enjoyed and received every day of the year. He is the image of the invisible God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who created everything and who continues to hold us in existence at this very moment. And He is the one and only one who can reconcile us to God. Next week, as we enter into the new year, I'm going to encourage you to be praying about and thinking about these two things. I really want to encourage you to think about what is one thing that you can do this next year to grow closer to Jesus. And then what is one thing that you can do this next year to help others grow closer to Jesus. This week I read a joke that said, New Year's resolutions are the things that go in one year and go out the other year. But I really encourage you to consider these two things as something you will truly do all year and hold yourself accountable to. And I'd even encourage you to email me or call me and let me know that you're going to do them, and I'll help you stay accountable to them. But what is one thing you can do this next year to help you grow closer to Jesus? And what's one thing you can do this next year to help others grow closer to Jesus? I want you to be thinking about this for the next couple weeks, and I'm going to circle back around to this on January 10th, I believe, when we come back, and I'll share another message for the new year talking about our church in this past year and our church moving forward. But be thinking about these questions. What can you do to really embrace Jesus and begin to share His hope and His peace and His joy and His love with others? I encourage you to really think about that and pray about that. And let's see what God is going to do in our midst in this next year. I hope it's not as challenging of a year as 2020 has been. But I also believe that God is doing great things even now. And He's going to do even greater things as we lean into these truths and embrace Him as the full fullness of God's image on the earth. Would you please pray with me at this time? Lord Jesus, we thank You for this passage in Colossians. I thank You for the season we've just come out of with Advent. And we thank You that these are truths that aren't just meant to be for a season or for a few days, but truths that are meant to guide us and lead us and help us all year round. Please, God, continue to manifest Yourself in our lives in very real and personal ways. I pray, Lord, that You'd continue shaping us and helping us to have true faith, a faith that would be fully surrendered to You. Please, God, move in our lives and continue to help us to grow closer to You and to help others grow closer to you as well. We praise your name, Jesus, and we worship you. At this time, would you please join me in praying the Lord's Prayer together?
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
God bless you guys, and thank you once again for joining us. Happy New Year, and I look forward to seeing you in 2021. God bless you.